Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have John Ritgarn with us. John is the founder of the Creator Wealth and Freedom Nexus. He is a residential investor, and he uses he's here to talk to us about cash flow. So I'm super excited to have John on here. John, thanks so much for hopping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Gabe. Pleasure.
Absolutely. I told you before we hopped on here, we like to start with stories. We like to hear how people got into real estate, and I'm sure you got a good one. So why don't you take us to the beginning? How'd you get started? And really?
Sure. And I'll actually kind of take a little bit of a step. It wasn't so much getting into real estate, more of just, I need to do something different. It was actually November 2014. I was sitting on my couch and my wife had left a toxic work environment. She wanted to go back to school, become a college professor. And at the time I was in corporate sales, and I was like, okay, we're down to one income, but I think we'll still make it. I'll just, sell more, obviously make more business, et cetera. And I don't know, just kind of had my awakening moment. At that time, I was 31 years old, and it just kind of sunk in that if I were to relive my entire life for that 31 year period again, I'd be working 40, 50, 60 hours plus a week. And then I still wouldn't be at that arbitrary retirement age of 65. So that was kind of a little depressing moment, so to speak. And then on top of that, I thought, it's like, well, what's to say I'm even going to get to age 65? My little background story, both my parents passed away of cancer by the time I was 16, and both of them passed away in their 50s. So it was just really kind of an awakening moment of, okay, there's got to be something better than working decades at a job that's maybe you love, but maybe in my case, I just tolerated, for lack of a better term. And, we all seem to be brought up with this life of deferment, defer your life. Take that vacation after you retire when you got this big bucket of money in your IRA, 401k, whatever. And at the end of the day, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed to make it to age 62, 65, whatever that arbitrary retirement date is. I mean, even just as we're recording this, a friend of mine, about a week and a half ago, was age 59, passed away of a massive stroke, and he was in good health. He was actually a financial advisor, worked with a lot of clients, and, nothing, wasn't like, cancer or anything like that, but just kind of goes to show, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So why do we have our entire financial mindset, so to speak, as deferral, deferral, deferral to a later date for this big bucket of money that we can tap into later?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense to me. And so it sounds like you kind of realize your mortality and that, got a life bulb on in there.
Yeah. I just kind of, like I said, kind of a deep dive and, deep thinking into it. And like I said, at the time I was in sales, so I was on the road a lot of time, plugged in my iPod and listened to tunes and got introduced to this great thing called podcasts. So I just kind of started, you're at that unconsciousness incompetence. You don't know what you don't know at that point. And somewhere down the journey, real estate podcasts popped up. I can't remember if it was Get Rich Education or Epic Real Estate or Bigger Pockets or whatever the first one was.
Epic Real Estate. That's the one that with Matt Turiel. That's what got me going on it.
I know he was one of the first ones. I can't say for sure he was the first, but just kind of going down that rabbit hole and you pick up little different nuggets. And I'm not a handyman. I am not a flipper. If I can pound a nail in straight, that's cause for popping a champagne bottle. So really kind of, I want to say fall in love, but really kind of found my niche in buy and hold residential real estate. So that's kind of where I started in 2016 and been building my portfolio ever since.
That's awesome, man. And Matt, if you're listening, you got two pupils here from your podcast. So thank you very much for what you've done out there. That's great. I mean, so you were in the podcast scene, you were just looking for that next step. Mm-hmm. You knew that you needed to do something in order to, you know, get out of the rat race and get your financial feet under you. Residential real estate, did you start in flips and wholesales and then go into buy and holds, or what, why'd you kind of settle on buy and holds there?
I kind of like the buy and hold basically just through the, you know, passive income. There's a lot more tax benefits where, you know, obviously if you're doing flipping or wholesaling, it might be treated as a, you know, 1099 or W-2 income, where then you have FICA taxes on top of income taxes. I liked the, you know, passive rental income where, you know, we can do a deep dive or not, but just with a tax code treats it very differently, where you can pay nothing in taxes. And I just like that mentality of, okay, I can earn income and legally not pay taxes. And as far as my first deal, after I'd started listening to a lot of podcasts, you know, learned about the 1% rent to value ratio, wanting to have a, you know, newer construction, avoiding, you know, lead based paint, foundation problems, et cetera. Kind of had my criteria, and even my wife said, like, well, you're never going to find that. And lo and behold,
looking for the unicorn.
Actually found it the summer of 2016. And ironic, it was actually a fourplex, not a single family. You know, most people start with a single family or condo and then work their way up. This happened to be a fourplex, and you know, listed for about $300,000, and okay, 25% down payment. I mean, you can do the math. It's like, okay, how in the world will I make this work? And I thought of a quote of Robert Kiyosaki's, you know, don't say I can't afford it, ask how can you afford it. And kind of back to the deferring life thing, I had a Roth IRA since I was 19, and I learned from an advisor that you can take your contributions out tax-free, not your earnings, but your contributions that you put in. So kind of ran the numbers and you know, did the anti-Susie Orman, the anti-Dave Ramsey, you know, taking money out of your retirement account. You should never touch that. But actually ended up doing that. And that was the bulk of the down payment for fourplex. And that's kind of how the journey started almost 6 years ago.
Nice. And I actually, I do kind of want to do a deep dive on that, because I feel like those two topics that you brought up, tax benefits and then using like tax deferred accounts, your IRA, et cetera, to invest. Those are two aspects of investing that a lot of new investors aren't familiar with, but it's a really good, it's something that you should know. And especially the tax side, because everybody, when they think of real estate, they think of the big paychecks you get when you flip a house, or the big the stream of income you get from the cash flow, but they never really think about the other benefits, which, you know, the taxes is one of them. So why don't you go just, you know, go a little further into why you like buy and holds for the, from the tax benefit side of it.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, high level in the, you know, residential real estate space, the IRS allows you to depreciate the building that you acquired. You know, using simple terms, like I said, my first investment was a fourplex valued at $300,000. Now you can't depreciate the land. That's going to be, you know, give or take 20% of the purchase price. So if you take the, you know, 20% of $300,000, you know, left with about $240,000. And then the IRS allows you to basically straight line depreciate that $240,000 or whatever the number is over 27 and a half years. So even just kind of doing simple numbers, you know, let's say you have a property, a cash or brings in a gross income of $1,000 a month, after mortgage, interest, principal, taxes, insurance, property management, let's say it comes to $200 a month. Now, generally in the tax code, that $200 would probably be taxed as passive income. You know, everyone's tax situation is a little bit differently, but probably about 15%. There isn't any FICA taxes. It's not short-term capital gains. It's typically about 15%. But the depreciation, when you take that large sum of money, depreciate that out over 27 and a half years, 12 months in a year, that depreciation could very well be 200 or probably even more than that per month. So from a math side, you have $200 of income that's taxable. Well, now that's offset by $200 a month of depreciation or more. So as far as the IRS is concerned, you're showing a loss on your tax return. So since you're showing a loss, even though you are cash flowing, you don't pay any taxes on that money. And again, that's all passive. You know, that's rent checks that come in month after month, year after year. That's not tied into, I need to work 40 hours a week. I need to check in the office. I need to sell a widget or, you know, do some kind of transactional business. And, you know, kind of like you said, with the flipping or the wholesaling, it does become very transactional where we're, you know, residential passive investment, that money just comes in, you know, month after month, passively, very tax advantaged. And then you can kind of look at scaling up too. I mean, we're all human. There's only 24 hours in a day. I mean, people look to say, well, if I just get a second job or if I just get a raise, I'll make more money. Well, maybe, but you know, we all have 24 hours in a day. There's only so much work you can do in a physical day. Whereas if you have a passive investment that is properly managed, you know, can you get five investments, 10, 20, 50, so on and so forth? And then you can just scale up more income, less taxes, more passive income. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's just kind of what's the key to financial freedom.
Kind of feeds on itself there.
Exactly.
And on the commercial side, it's just a note, you can do like cost segregation studies to put the tax benefit at the front end. And so you can really, really offset your taxes there.
Yeah.
A lot of good tax benefits. One of the reasons why we all like real estate.
Exactly. And it's one of those things, you know, there might be a new something replaces Apple down the line or a new Facebook or MySpace comes up. But at the end of the day, we all need a place to live. So I think that's probably one of the safest asset classes you can be in as well.
Yep, absolutely. And they're not making more land.
No. Except in was it Abu Dhabi where they're building the islands or something?
Yeah, I guess. except for in Saudi Arabia, they're making more land over there, but not here in America. All right, you also talked about investing with your IRA. Sure. Go a little bit deeper into that, because that is something I actually think I liquidated my IRA when I did my first investment.
And okay.
I didn't know at the time that it was tax deferred. I just like sure. needed the money. I was like, where is it? There it is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Take it out. Yeah. So, but yeah, in the retirement world, and I'll just, you know, speak to IRAs or individual retirement accounts. So there's basically two flavors, your traditional that is tax deferred, and then your Roth, named for Senator Roth back in the late 90s, where
did not
it
know
is
that interesting.
Yep, it was Roth actually named after a senator. That's how the Roth IRA came about. So, and drawing a blank, I think it was from Connecticut or Delaware, or it's escaping me, but anyways. So, on a traditional IRA, you get a tax deduction. Basically, the government says, hey, you're putting money away for retirement. So, depending on your tax bracket, you know, maybe you're in the 22% tax bracket, you put $10,000 in an IRA. Actually, now they say that you can't do that. That's past the limit. So let's say $5,000. You put $5,000 in an IRA, you're in the 22% tax bracket. Okay, you save about $1,100 on your tax bill for that year. The Roth basically works reverse of that. You don't get a tax benefit right away. You're putting in after tax dollars. However, the money in a Roth IRA grows tax free, and you can take it out later with no taxes owed because you've already paid taxes on it. Traditional IRAs, it goes in, you get a tax rebate or credit or whatever you want to call it, you know, out the gate. But then when you go to take it out later, you know, divested, like you said, or you're getting into retirement, that's when you get hit with the taxes. And if you take it out before age 59 and a half, then you get a 10% penalty on top of that. So, like I said, I like the Roth where I learned, okay, I contributed, I can't remember what the number was, but so many, you know, thousands of dollars, that was my contributions over 12, 13 years. Since I already paid taxes on it, I could take that money out tax-free, no penalties, no taxes owned, and then do whatever I want with it. Likewise, kind of back to your point, you know, if it is in a traditional IRA, you still can, but then you are going to be hit at your highest marginal tax bracket and a 10% penalty on top of that. So Roth IRAs tend to be a little bit more tax advantages and more flexibility. And if you want to, I mean, you can even self-direct your IRA accounts and invest in, you know, real estate or syndications right in your IRA if it's not advantageous to take the money out also.
Interesting. Yeah, this is all stuff that I don't don't know enough about, but I know it benefits, it can benefit a lot of people, especially people with W-2 jobs out there, who have those retirement accounts.
Yeah. And just one little final note too, just for if you're an American listening to this, tax rates, you might say they're too high, but they have been kind of on sale since 2017. They are set to revert back to the old tax rates in 2026. So there is a little loophole, so to speak, where you can do conversions from your traditional IRA, convert it to Roth IRA, pay taxes now when they're a little bit lower, shall we say, and then it grows tax-free from then on versus, waiting 10, 15 years. As my friend MC Laubscher always said, pay tax on the seed, not the harvest. And that's exactly what a Roth IRA allows you to do. You pay a tax on the money you put in. And if you're like Peter Thiel and can grow a $5 billion Roth IRA, well, not one penny of that is going to be going to Uncle Sam.
Did he actually do that? Because that would be
the there's been some question if he was able to, I don't want to say legally, but it was kind of through some loopholes. Long story short, he bought into PayPal when it was still a penny stock and it wasn't even listed on the stock exchange. He put a few thousand dollars in a Roth IRA, again, after tax. And with Roth IRAs, it can, grow and you never pay tax on it again. He cashed out his PayPal holdings once it went public. And then he used his seed money for, I think, Facebook, I think Uber. I know there's like a bunch of tech startups Peter Thiel used, and he did that all within his Roth IRA. So it just grew tax free. And yeah, now he's sitting on about $5 billion in a Roth IRA, which there's a few senators that I think it's Ron Wyden out of Oregon who's not too happy about. So they're trying to push like a $5 million limit or whatever for Roth IRAs. And then you're taxed on top of that. It's like, he didn't do anything illegal. He just,
it makes sense though. He's like the edge case where he's just
exactly
taking it to the extreme.
I don't have $5 billion in my Roth. I don't know anyone that does. I think he's kind of the exception, but if you luck out and you strategize well, you can build a very, plush Roth IRA with no taxes owed on it. So
yeah, for sure. All right, I took a look at the clock. We are going to have to move it along. Sure. I do want to ask you one more question before we hop into the quick question round. I know you focus on single family. Single family is notoriously difficult to scale. So what tips do you have for investors out there who want to scale a single family portfolio?
Well, in a single family, keep in mind, as far as financing goes, single family can be one unit up to four units. So if you're looking for Freddie, Fannie, May financing, you could go up to a fourplex. I've networked with several turnkey providers and even some off-market providers where it's just kind of stepping up, it's buying a house here or a duplex here. But then I'm also getting into where, as the equity builds up with the market we've started to see of doing cash out refinances, and then you have, pulling out some equity. Now you have the down payment for three more properties, and three properties turn to six, turn to 12, turn to 24. Or like I said, some mixture, maybe a fiveplex or something in there as well. So it, I started off with a fourplex. I didn't buy anything for two more years. But now I got units across five states now at this recording. So it starts small, but it can compound later on.
So how do you, across five states, that's, I started in single family and then I moved on, but the difficulty that I found was management. Sure. A lot of property managers out there, they don't want to take on individual units. They don't want to take on, unless you have 5-10 single family houses in the same geographic area, they're not going to consider, you as a client. So sounds like you've scaled, you've figured out that problem. How do you find good property management to take over management when you're spread out across different states?
Sure. Really just comes down to a lot of due diligence and networking, but I also also concentrate on ones that are, shall we say, the turnkey providers. And even what's starting to come up is the new build. They build the property, they put in the tenants, so they know about the property, where, like you said, you go to a across the street property manager, hey, I got this property, will you manage it for me? That might not necessarily work. But if it's a turnkey operator that has hundreds or even thousands of properties under management, and you start working with them, then you can scale up a little bit quicker.
Perfect. I love it. All right. Well, it's time to go to the quick question round. We've gone through our 15 minutes, so are you ready to rock?
Sounds good.
All right. It starts with books. I'm a big bookie, or any form of education. If you like YouTube, podcasts, whatever it is, give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom and one for real estate specific.
General life wisdom and real estate. I'm a big bookworm myself. So if I had to go general life, I would say Heads I Win, Tails I Lose by Patrick Donahoe. Kind of goes more into infinite banking, how to work real estate investing with insurance policies, and kind of break free of the traditional, you know, financial advice or retirement planning, so to speak. As far as real estate investing, I've always been really like the ABCs of Property Management by Ken McElroy, one of the Rich Dad advisors. Yeah, I've read that books. A number of times as well. So
yeah, nice. Heads I Win, Tails I Lose. I haven't heard of that one. I'll have to pick it up. That leads us to the next question, and this one is for your younger self. So if you could go back to the John who had no experience in real estate, he was still, you know, out there doing a sales job. Go back to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Half joking, I'd say buy Tesla stock, that I'd be retired by now. But I would say,
wish that or exactly, Bitcoin.
Hindsight 2020. Just start early, due diligence, and jump in with both feet. You know, you only miss the shots that are you. What's the Wayne Gretzky? Miss 100% of the shots I don't take. You don't
take. There we go. If we, you know, we'll figure it out if we put our heads together.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next one. This is habits. Habits form the foundation of our life. So if you could point to one thing you do day in, day out, you feel contributes the most to your overall health, well-being, and happiness, what would that be?
I make a habit of reading every day for fun, usually 20 to 30 minutes, mix of fiction, nonfiction. But I'm always just trying to be open to new ideas. I think mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. And I think once we get to, you know, a certain point and closed minded, I like to be exposed to, you know, different trains of thought, different ideas. And I think that's just how we grow and expand.
Perfect. I love it. And that leads us to the next one. And this is an opportunity for you to brag a little bit. We are all gifted with strengths. You're no exception. We all have something that we specifically are exceptional at and give this to this world. So what is your Superman strength?
My Superman strength, I'm not a financial advisor per se, but I've talked to a lot of friends and family members where my tagline is financial freedom, one bill at a time, where I think a lot of people get kind of hung up or, oh, geez, $10,000 a month or whatever the number is. That's too big of a, you know, nut to crack. Well, take it one step further. You know, what are your monthly bills? You know, do you have Netflix? Okay, that's $15 a month. What can you create as a passive income stream that gets you $15 a month? Okay, that's one bill that's now taking care of passive income. Let's work on the next one. And that's always been kind of my skill of really breaking it down where people kind of look at it, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe I can't get a 100 unit apartment complex that covers all my monthly bills, but hey, maybe I can start small with a single family or dividend paying stock, whatever the case may be.
Perfect. One step at a time. I like that. Next question is the United States. It's a big place. There's a lot of opportunity out there to invest. Sounds like you've already diversified as far as the location goes. So what area in the United States are you most excited to put your hard-earned dollars?
Right now, I am really concentrated on Central Florida, just with the migration patterns. And I say Central Florida in specific just to ease the risks of, you know, hurricanes and tropical storms and all that stuff. Not a big fan of Miami, but obviously there's a big influx of people moving as well as a retirement community. And, you know, tax environment is very advantageous and it's a very landlord friendly state as well. So that's the big one that I'm hoping to jump in here the next year or two.
Central Florida. I like it. You and many people, it seems to be a very popular.
Yeah, exactly. One of those woulda, coulda, should have done, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's all good. All right. And that leads us to the Where am I? There we go. Yep. Last question. This one's for the listeners. If you could, or you've given us a lot of good advice, so I'm sure people out there want to reach out. What's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Well, I always joke I'm not too hard to find. So if you Google John Rickgarn, interesting fact, there's only three Rickgarns in the world today. But you can just go to my website, rickgarn.com. I'll redirect you to all my podcast, YouTube, all those links. Otherwise, you can just email john@wealthandfreedomnexus.com.
All right, john@wealthandfreedomnexus.com. And I will put those URLs in the show notes. So if anybody wants to reach out to John, just click the little more in the description. It'll pull down the full description in there. You can find find the URLs to reach out and say hi.
Sounds good.
John, that wraps it up for us. Thank you very much for hopping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Gabe. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe, at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Other than that, hope you have a great week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode and were able to pull some actionable advice that you can go home with and apply to your own investing business. Before you go, I have a gift for you. If you're a new investor looking to get started or an established investor looking to take your business to the next level, I've created an ebook just for you available on the website. This ebook will cover how I was able to create both active and passive income in real estate with very little money to start with. In it, I will address the three most often cited obstacles new and veteran investors run into by showing you how to find a deal that's actually a deal, how to finance that deal with little to no money down, and how to exit a deal for maximum value. And if you get the ebook today, I'm going to bury you in bonuses, seven of them to be exact. First, you'll get the off-market lead generation blueprint, which will take you through the exact systems and processes we use to generate off-market leads like clockwork, which is the most important skill when it comes to creating real wealth in real estate. Then you'll get the A to Z REI systems and vendors guide, which will allow you to peek under the hood of our business and see the exact tools and systems and even the vendors we use to grow our business. After that, you will get the top 100 best performing keywords pack, which will give you the exact keywords we use to target leads online and generate leads without having to lift a finger. Next, you'll get the contracts bundle for wholesaling and renting real estate, which will give you access to all of the contracts we use in the field to execute all types of transactions. After that, you'll get the investor's quick analysis calculator and offer tool, which will allow you to quickly calculate whether a deal is an actual deal and will allow you to create an offer automatically from those calculations. Next up, we'll give you the investor's daily success tracker, which is a tracker you can use to ensure you are taking the right actions day in and day out to reach your financial goals in real estate. And finally, you will get the wholesaler's template for quick assignment cash, which will give you the templates we use to present our wholesale deals professionally and efficiently to our buyers. I know that is a ton of things to say. I'm glad you were able to stick with it. So you'll get both the ebook and all of those seven free bonuses. When you download the ebook today, all we charge is the admin cost to run the show. So if you are interested in the ebook and the bonus bundle, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Click on Get the Ebook Bundle at the top of the page and take advantage of that deal. With that housekeeping item covered, I hope you have an absolutely fantastic day and even better week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.